الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected hufaz, beloved brothers and elders, as we all know, we are now going through the months of Hajj. There may be many people around us, near us, family members, friends, people from our community, a lot of people from our country who have now left and embarked on their special journey of Hajj. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept their Hajj and may Allah bless us with this great opportunity of visiting the Haramain Sharifain again and again. We envy those who visit and are blessed with this great opportunity to visit Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. Indeed, this is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses different people with at different points in time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in one hadith, anyone who visits my grave after I leave this world, it's as good as that person visited me while I'm alive. You visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qabr, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, my shafa'ah, my intercession for you on the day of Qiyamah becomes binding. What a great honor. When no one else will be able to make any safarish and intercession for you, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will come and speak to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on your behalf. This is a great bounty. But respected elders and friends, we find some people will be able to do this, some people wouldn't. Some people can afford to go, some people cannot afford to go. Sometimes everyone has the funds and has the facility, but circumstances do not allow us to go there and visit all the time as much as we want to, but it's not possible for everyone to reside there all the time and be visiting all the time. So what's the guidance then? You and I are thousands of kilometers away from Medina Munawwara and Makkah Mukarrama. But there has to be some guideline. Even though we aren't there, what's the action or the mindset that you and I need to have, although we may not be in those Mubarak lands, what do we do? So today we wish to discuss two ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoles us that sometimes you might not be in the presence, you might not be next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically, but there are ways for us to be with Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam spiritually and mentally. Maybe you will not have something called hadiri, physical presence, but it's possible for you to have huduri, meaning spiritual and a mental type of presence with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah narrates a hadith which is recorded in his Musnad. He says, "An Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu qal, lamma ba'athahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila al-Yaman, kharaja ma'ahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu narrates that when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had sent him, Mu'adh bin Jabal was amongst the Ansari Sahaba. He accepted Islam when he was about 18 years old, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam trained and taught the Sahabi to such an extent that he said, "A'lamuhum bil halali wal haram, Mu'adh ibn Jabal." Amongst the greatest muftis of his ummah is Mu'adh bin Jabal. He taught him, he trained him. Then about maybe 10 years later, 9 or 10 years later, when he was about 28 years old, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him from Medina Munawwara. He sends him to Yemen, about 600 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. He sends him as a qadi and a judge to teach and to educate the Muslims in Yemen. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu describes the incident. He says, the day I was leaving Medina Munawwara, and as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sending me off, he came out with me. وَمُعَاذٌ رَاكِبٌ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَمْشِي تَحْتَ رَاحِلَتِهِ. He says, I was riding on my conveyance because I'm leaving, and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, out of his extreme humility, he was walking with me outside Medina Munawwara, walking with me onto the outskirts, or just leaving Medina Munawwara. Then when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went out, he was giving me advice. When he finished the advice, he mentioned, قال, يا معاذ, عسى الله تلقاني بعد عامي هذا. Oh Mu'adh, I need to tell you something before you depart. Oh Mu'adh, it's very likely that you will not meet me again. He's warning him in advance, oh Mu'adh, this is our last meeting. Mu'adh, till the point, radiallahu anhu, he may have not known exactly what's going to happen. It's our last meeting. Maybe I'm going to go, I'm going to leave this world, or the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will leave the world. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam went forward, he said, وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِمَسْجِدِي هَذَا وَقَبْرِ. O Mu'adh, the next time you come to Medina, it's likely you'll pass by my masjid, you'll pass by my qabr, but you won't pass by me. You'll see my masjid, you'll see my qabr, but you won't see me. Anyone who hears this, you're now leaving. You and I were not there. We were not with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if we ever have the opportunity to be in Medina Munawwara, and then that moment of departure, you don't want to even think about the date. The day you're leaving, you're full of tears. Here Mu'adh is leaving Medina Munawwara, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is leaving Medina Munawwara, and he's being told this is the last meeting. فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعًا بِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu didn't cry. He broke down. He broke down into tears. He was crying profusely. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also saw it. It was a touching moment. He was a good and great and a favorite sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ فَأَقْبَلَ بِوَجْهِهِ نَحْوَ الْمَدِينَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing me, but now he turned away and he looked towards Medina Munawwara, and now he made one final address. And this address was a consolement to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and it's a consolement for every one of us to come till the day of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Mu'adh, inna awla an-nasi bi al-muttaqoon man kanu wa haythu kanu. Mu'adh, remember, you are now leaving. As though Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was telling him, you are leaving. You're going to be at a distance, far away from me. You'll probably be in Yemen. But remember, the people who are closest to me, despite the physical distance being so far, yet people can still be close to me. Who are they? They are those people who possess one quality. Who are they? Al-Muttaqoon. They possess the quality of taqwa. Despite them being thousands of kilometers away, they're still going to be as though they're in my presence. Man kanu wa haythu kanu, whoever they are and wherever they are. Whoever, whichever race you come from, whatever denomination, from wherever you are, 1,000 kilometers or 10,000 kilometers away, if you possess the quality of taqwa, then it's as though you are tuned into the station of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll always be connected. You'll always be receiving guidance and correction. How? By you remaining on the path of taqwa. Now what do we mean by taqwa? Here we have the masjid, masjid of taqwa. So what do we mean by taqwa? Taqwa refers to staying away from wrong. So you're going to stay away from something. So we know we've got to stay away from wrong, stay away from haram, stay away from anything Sharia didn't allow us or doesn't allow us to do.
What Allah Ta'ala asked us not to do, not to say, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked us not to do, not to say, we stay far away from that. But as a human being, if you're going to stay away from one thing, you need to do something else in place. Because if you don't do something right, you automatically going to fall into something wrong. So stay away from wrong, but engage in what? Engage in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the secret. This is the secret to life, and if you want to be connected, then stay away from wrong and engage in the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There, in this way, we will remain deeply and strongly connected to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In the Quran, Allah says, "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah." If you love Allah, you true in your claim. You love Allah, you want to become pious, you want to become God-fearing and Allah-fearing, then fattabi'uni, the way is simple. Allah says, tell the believers, make an address to them, if you love Allah, then follow me. You want to reach Allah, follow me. In Jahannam, Allah describes the people who will be receiving punishment. And Allah says, when they will be receiving punishment, يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي نَارٍ. A time when their faces will be turned on the fire, like a person turns meat on a braai stand. One time on this side, one time on that side, in order for the meat to become completely done. Like this, people's faces will be turned in the fire of Jahannam. Allah save and protect us. Sometime on this side, sometime on that side. When one side comes right, then he'll be turned to the other side, continuously forever. What will be the statement they will be making? Allah records it in Quran. يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَ اللَّهُ وَأَطَعْنَ الرَّسُولَ. If only when we were alive and we had the opportunity in this world, had we only obeyed Allah and obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had we only followed Shariat and followed the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would have not been in this severe torment and punishment today. So this is something very great. Someone asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, such a great man who had passed away 150 Hijri. Now we are 1446. So many thousand, over 1,000 years have passed, yet Imam Abu Hanifa's name is still taken with respect. Allah had given him so much of honor and respect, a man who performed the Fajr Salah with the Isha Wudu for 40 years. This man, someone asked him, that Imam Abu Hanifa, such great piety, you got so much of taqwa, so much of sunnah, so many students, so much of acceptance, what's the secret? Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says, after every farasa, I made a habit of reciting one dua. I used to recite this dua 7 times after every farasa salah. What was that dua? Allahumma rzuqni ta'atak wa ta'ata rasulik. Oh Allah, give me the ability, grant me the bounty of obeying you and obeying your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is called taqwa. We obey Allah and we obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is taqwa, this is the real path of piety. The way to determine whether a man is really pious is to see his adherence and the importance that he shows to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, when someone loves this and he adheres to this and he holds on firm to this, then what greater bounty can they be? We all want to be close. We go to Medina Munawwara and we want to be close as possible to the masjid, as close as possible to the qabr and the grave in the Rawdah Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People die to get a place in a place called the Riyadul Jannah, right next to the qabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That's great. We ask Allah to give us a place in Baqi, to be buried not far from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us a method. In this world, it's temporary. And for a temporary state, sometimes for 10 days, sometimes for 9 days, sometimes for whatever time of period, we're going to be as close as we possibly can. But greater than all that is to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. Because that's got no end. You'll be there, you'll remain there, and no one will shift you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shows us a method. And he says, مَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّةِ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Love my sunnah, that's indicative of you loving me. And if you love me, you'll be with me in Jannah. You'll have the privilege of being with me in Jannah. So this is the way to get to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to remain connected to him, is that we always fulfill every sunnah. The beauty of the sunnah, respected elders and friends, is that the sunnah teaches us simplicity. And this simplicity is a great fort. It It's a strong fort and a guarding tool and method from the fitnas of the age. Fitnas will be raining on us from all sides, and many a times, most of the time, a person gets sucked and caught up in the fitna when he goes on to some new method, to some modern method, to some smart method, and he leaves out the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah is what brings us back to humility. You can eat on a table, but then you can eat on the floor. The floor teaches you simplicity, it teaches you humility. You can wear whatever you want, but then you can wear what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wore. This teaches you sunnah, it teaches you humility, it teaches you simplicity. This is one of the greatest barakah of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. May Allah grant us tawfiq to hold on to every sunnah. So this was one hadith. The people closest to me will be those who got taqwa. The second hadith, reported by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah. He says, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرْهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً. The people closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those who recited the most amount of durood. This also is a very great action. And none of us can say we are excused. None of us can say we don't have the time. If you want to perform salah, you got to come to the masjid, you got to get your salah with jamaat to get the full reward, you got to be in a state of wudu. But when it comes to durood, then durood can be recited in whatever condition. Wherever we are walking to the masjid, we are walking home, or we in our business places, wherever we are, we remind ourselves to recite durood on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll recite this. And really, this will guarantee us a place next to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah. A day when we don't know where we'll be, what will be the condition. And if you would Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what problem can you have? What difficulty will you suffer? But the way to get there is to recite durood. How much of durood should we recite? Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahullah explains, the minimum requirement, the right that we owe to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is 300 durood daily. Daily recite 300. That's the minimum. But if we capitalize on our free moments, every free moment we have, wherever we are, and we keep a little counter in our hands, sometimes an electronic counter, or a tasbih, or whatever it is, and we recite durood, at the end of the day, when we look at the number we've clocked, you and I will be shocked. You and I will be surprised, how did I manage to read so much of durood? In those short moments, recite that durood. It's a great action, and it's something that brings so much of reward. Number one, it takes you close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains, when you recite durood, Allah ta'ala writes 10 rewards for you, sends 10 mercies on you, wipes out 10 of your sins, elevates your rank 10 times into Jannah. Just because of reciting durood. Durood is so easy. If you know a long durood, recite a long one. If you know a short one, recite a short one. The shortest, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We'll recite this and really we'll be honored. Sometimes we don't realize what happens when we recite durood. So someone might go to Madina Munawwara and he'll send a message to you, or he'll come back from Madina Munawwara and he says, brother, you know, I was sitting in front of the Rawdah Mubarak, and whilst I was there, your picture came to my mind. And I took your name and I conveyed your salams at the grave and at the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How honored don't we feel? This man took my name. He thought of me in Medina. Nabi alayhi salam, yes, that's a great honor. If someone asks us, we should make sure we convey the salam. But Nabi alayhi salam explains, when you recite durood wherever you are, sometimes your durood can be conveyed through a human. He's visited Medina Munawwara and he conveyed your durood. But if you don't send it via a human, you can be sitting in South Africa, thousands of kilometers away. The moment you recite the durood, Allah has malaika, inna lillahi malaikatan sayyahina fil ard. Allah has malaika who traverse the earth. Their duty is just to go around picking a durood. You recite the durood now, that angel comes, he picks up the durood. He takes it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, so and so, the son of so and so, Muhammad, the son of Ismail, for example, he has conveyed durood to you. So your name is still getting taken in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you recite durood. What happens after that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you saying, Assalamu alayka, or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you sending a salam and a durood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to your salam. He makes dua for you. He becomes happy. Your name is taken in his presence. What an honor. This is what happens. And brothers, for a moment, just ponder. Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu, he says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to us on one occasion, إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ حَجَرًا بِمَكَّةِ كَانَ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيَّ قَبْلَ أَنْ أُبْعَثُ إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُهُ الْآنَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Jabir bin Samura and the other Sahaba that in Makkah Mukarramah till today, I know of a stone. There was a stone that used to make salam to me before I was sent as a Nabi. The stone used to make salam. Imagine, Allah made the stone speak. And the stone used to make salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I know that stone, I recognize that stone. Even till now when I pass that stone, I know exactly which stone that was. Muhaddithin right under this hadith. They say, فَهَذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَكَرَ وَلَمْ يَنْسَى مَنْ سَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَجَرِ فَكَيْفَ يَنْسَى مَنْ صَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ. This is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He hadn't forgot that stone that made salam to him. You and I as human beings, when you send durood on him, you think he's going to forget you. Your name is taken in his presence. You think he's going to forget that you send salat and durood on him? Make this a habit. Make this a habit. Yeah, people make a habit of reciting the durood in the thousands. Whatever number we can, never regard the durood to be small. You never know where and how that durood can help you. There are so many incidents. One person passes away and his good deeds are brought. His good deeds are brought. For he's come before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and his deeds have to be weighed. And as his deeds are being weighed, his evil deeds have outweighed his good deeds. His good deeds were very little. And now he's worried, he doesn't have enough good deeds. What does he do? All of a sudden, one person comes, extremely beautiful, sublime character and conduct. He comes with a little piece of paper, small piece of paper. And he takes this piece of paper and he puts it onto the scale of his good deeds. And as a result, the good deeds just outweigh the evil deeds. This man is surprised. He says, please tell me who you are. What's your name? You're so handsome. There's so much of nur emanating from you. Your conduct and character is so sublime. He says, I am your Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This little paper is the duruds that you used to recite when you were alive. These duruds are coming to help you today. One person passes away. People see him in the dream. They ask him, what happened? He said, my good deeds and my evil deeds were brought. My evil deeds were so many. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commanded the angels, but this man used to recite durood. So do a count of his evil deeds, his sins and his haram, and do a count of his durood. My durood was more than my evil deeds and my gunah. Allah forgive me. One person, a narration is made in this kitab, Ar-Rawdul Fa'iq في المواعظ والرقائق, regarding a mother who had a son, and unfortunately this son had bad habits. He was leading an evil life. He was leading a loose life. His mother kept on advising him to leave out this wrong, leave out this sin and haram, but he didn't desist. And unfortunately he passed away in this state without making tawbah. Now his mother was even more hurt that this is my son and this is what happened to him. What's going to happen to him in the akhirat? So she's worried, she makes dua to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I don't know. In my knowledge, he didn't make tawbah. But oh Allah, you show me a glimpse of my son in a dream so that I know what's his condition. One night she goes to sleep and she sees her son in a dream. And she sees him in a terrible condition. He's going through torture, through punishment. He's being punished from all sides. So she looks at him, she feels sorry for him, she wakes up and she's worried, she's making dua, sending thawab for him. Then after a few days, she sees him again in a dream, and now his condition is changed. He's living in a beautiful condition, he's comfortable, all the torment and the difficulty and the punishment has been uplifted and removed. So she asks him, what happened? So he says, we were in a qabristan, I'm buried in this graveyard, there are quite a few of us here. One ordinary person, not a pious man, an ordinary person, actually a sinner, he passed by our graveyard. He passed by the graveyard, and the moment his eyes fell on the grave, the moment his eyes fell on the qabrs that were around, then he thought to himself, you know, these people are buried here today. Tomorrow my turn is going to come. One day I'm going to leave this world also. And deep down in his heart, he made tawbah, "Oh Allah, I wish to now change my life." Ulama-i-kiram write, "Kafa bil mawti wa'idha." Death and everything surrounding death is a brilliant advisor. It's something enough for you to take advice from. It's a silent advisor. He just saw the qabr and he took lesson and he said, "Ya Allah, I'm desisting from my evil ways. I'm making tawbah sincerely." At that moment, he recited a few verses of Quran and then he recited durood and he sent the durood to us. And as a result of what this man recited, the shaykh that came to me removed all my punishment and now brought me into comfort. The question is, how many durood did he recite? 20. He recited 20 durood. Brothers, a point to note, that durood that he recited and sent to someone benefited that man so much, it removed his punishment. How much more wouldn't it benefit the man who recited it himself? So the question or the message is simple, brothers. Let's recite durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. Start when? Start now. Start immediately. Let this durood flow on our lips, and who knows where and how this durood will be of aid to us at the time we need it most. So the message is simple. We cannot always connect. We envy those who are there. And we make dua, Allah takes us there. That is an even greater fortune, to be there and convey durood to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if we can't, like we are here today, then we need to remain connected through taqwa, through sunnah, and through durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us the tawfiq to follow every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, to recite abundant durood on Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and bless us with this sublime quality of taqwa. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.